To gain visibility and control over your financials, inventory, HR, e-commerce, and more, take advantage of this special financing offer of no payments or interest for 6 months from NetSuite by Oracle. Go to netsuite.com/wallstreet. That's netsuite.com/wallstreet.
Welcome to a special episode of Tech News Briefing for Monday, April 3rd. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. You've probably been hearing a lot about artificial intelligence. AI seems to be everywhere these days.
Google, Meta / Facebook, Microsoft are in a race to introduce new artificial intelligence systems.
The AI race for search, it's on.
The artificial intelligence company OpenAI unveiled ChatGPT-4.
It's the photo editing app that's taken over social media, Lensa AI.
It's not the first time AI has promised to shake up our world, but something about this moment does seem to be different. Generative AI is changing the game, and maybe a lot of other things too. We at Tech News Briefing wanted to know more, so we've launched this series airing Mondays in April called Artificially Minded to look at what's new now and what it means for AI's future and our own. But first, to understand what's going on with artificial intelligence and generative AI, we need to start with some basics, because how AI works and what it can do is complicated. So today, we're going back to school. Joining me to break down AI 101 is WSJ science reporter Eric Kneeler. Hey, Eric. Thanks for joining me.
Hey, it's great to be with you.
I want to deal with the basics today. When we talk about AI, what do we even mean?
Sure. Well, artificial intelligence has been around for a while. It started out more as a statistical kind of method for making decisions with computers. And over time, of course, it's evolved. But really, when we talk about AI, it's any kind of technology that can reason, learn, plan, and make decisions. You know, these are all tasks that normally require human intelligence, but something else or someone else is doing it, and that's artificial intelligence.
I feel like another term that I'll often hear when we talk about artificial intelligence is machine learning. Can you tell us what that is and how it relates?
Sure. Machine learning is a form of AI, form of artificial intelligence. And instead of being programmed to do a specific thing, maybe check the temperature and give a reading or go and search for a couple things and come back, it can actually learn to do a specific task on its own. It's learning by figuring out patterns in data and also inference. If this is so, then this must be so if we add these two things together. So examples of machine learning, for example, Uber and other car sharing apps use this to predict the demand for drivers and passengers. And also, machine learning is also used in the medical field to identify and predict cancer tumors by looking at medical scans, maybe early detection of these tumors or medical problems.
So it is just learning the way we would learn. You know, if one thing happens, then another thing might happen. Is that right?
Yeah, imagine associations, and there are also different ways you can train an algorithm. An algorithm is like a little program, right? So you can train it with reinforcement. You did a good job. Here's a little stick, or you get more data for your training. And when we talk about training, these programs need big amounts of data. So example, let's say a facial recognition program. In order to get it accurate, you're going to need large numbers of people's faces so that the program can tell differences and it can make matches and so forth. Or if the program is designed to look at medical scans, for example, the larger number it has to get trained on, the more accurate it's going to be. So the training happens first, and then once it's the person that's written this program feels that it's accurate enough, then it's going to do it on its own.
If we're thinking about the generative AI tools that people maybe have tried out now, is this kind of how something like ChatGPT learns to respond, "I'm fine," when you ask how it's doing?
Yeah, it's funny. What ChatGPT does is look at vast amounts of text, and it sort of learns from that text. it assimilates this into something called a large language model. This is another form of AI that is employed by ChatGPT. So it doesn't have knowledge like we do in our brains, but it has the ability to process language really fast and really deep ways of making associations between your question and maybe a question that's been asked somewhere else or something it's read in a book or on a website to come up with an answer.
So just like students, it's learning, you know, what's in books so it can respond with them. It's getting treats like stickers or whatever the computer equivalent is of a sticker if you get something right in school. Eric, another term that I feel like I've heard associated with artificial intelligence is neural network. What is that?
So our brain is made up of neurons that are connected, brain cells, right? And it does processing. It doesn't do it from the top down. It sort of has these little places where processing happens with language, with mathematics, with music, with faces. And so a neural network is a computer program that sort of mimics that. So a neural network can identify images, patterns, text, facial expressions by working on several levels and also several nodes of processing. And again, that's why they use the term neural network, because it's a little bit like how our brain works.
A lot of people will have heard of, potentially tried out ChatGPT or maybe an AI art generator. There's more and more options for people to try their hand at this. But AI has been around for a while. Can you just tell us some places that we might have interacted with it just in our daily lives that we haven't thought about?
Sure. There's some very simple things, apps that we use on our phone to get us places, navigation apps, the Google search bar. They're also, you know, when delivery drivers have to make their routes, making the best route, most efficient way. There are other places too where it's being used by law firms that are needing to search massive amounts of cases, case law, for example, to find references, to find applicable language. It used to be clerks would do this or paralegals, and now there are sophisticated AI machine learning tools that can go through years of digitized cases and legal proceedings to get just the right answer to file in your brief. And that's got some people worried too. So it's out there. It's being used. I think the most important things are that we understand it, and also the people that are making these programs understand the human element. What are they trying to do? How are these algorithms affecting people?
Okay, in a moment, as AI is gaining more and more knowledge, we're also learning more about the risks of this technology. We'll discuss this with WSJ Science reporter Eric Kneeler after the break.
Here's what's trending now. You can defer payments of a full NetSuite implementation for 6 months. 33,000 companies have already upgraded to NetSuite, gaining visibility and control over their financials, inventory, HR, e-commerce, and more. February 1st through March 15th, 2023, everything they need to reduce manual processes, boost efficiency, build forecasts, and increase productivity. Whether your business generates millions or hundreds of millions of dollars, take advantage of this special financing offer of no payments or interest for 6 months at netsuite.com/wallstreet. That's netsuite.com/wallstreet.
So now that we've reviewed the basics, some AI 101, we also wanted to know what people on the street knew about AI and also how they felt about it. So we asked some folks on the streets of downtown San Francisco. How do you feel about artificial intelligence?
I think it's necessary. That simple.
Obviously, there's the concern of like what will it eliminate in terms of jobs, but for the most part, I'm trying to focus on what it can actually aid with.
I know that everybody's scared about it because it's we hold knowledge in our brains, and so if something can replace that, then we are very replaceable.
I honestly like it. I think it's very, it's just an innovation, and I think it's very important. It's helping improving a lot of fields and a lot of companies, so I think it's important to work on it right now.
Both optimistic and skeptical.
this moment in AI feels different from developments in the past. I'm back with WSJ Science reporter Eric Kneeler. Eric, a lot of what we've been talking about are artificial intelligence abilities that have already existed and that have been integrated into our day-to-day lives, but we're seeing a lot more about AI in the past few months. So what's different about this current moment than what we've seen over the past few years?
I think what's happened just in the last 6 months or so is the introduction of these large language models, the ChatGPT, for example, that just has some remarkable human-like abilities to answer our questions, to write memos, to make what we think could be opinions about other people or world events or Twitter, for example. And this has just kind of shaken us, I think, a lot of us, because it has appeared to be some kind of new being or new force when it's really just more of a repetitive kind of thing. It's a technology that's learning from text and responding with text that it learns. And, you know, I just was seeing this on Twitter. Remember, ChatGPT is not a knowledge model. It's a language model. And what that means is that it doesn't know things. It's repeating things.
It seems like what we're realizing now is that there are quite a lot of risks with artificial intelligence. Can you take us through what some of the big ones are?
You know, I think the everyday risks are things about accuracy, bias in facial recognition. Also, another risk is that there's a failure in system, something that hasn't been thought up before by the programmer. It's important to realize, though, that the risks are all within sort of a structure, in the sense that the programmer is telling the AI where it can work, what it can do, the data that it has to use. These are, you know, in many ways, the researchers I've talked to and interviewed say these are manageable risks. To solve these problems or to reduce these risks, we need more data to train on in order to eliminate or reduce the risk of mistaken identity. For example, in facial recognition, you need better lighting, better images, more images, using training sets with more black and brown faces, for example, that'll help that algorithm make better facial recognition decisions. The risks, though, that we often talk about can also be this sort of existential risk that AI is going to take over, the risks that are identified in Hollywood films and on science fiction books about AI sort of going beyond the boundaries of what the programmer tells it to do or the training set that it's using. So far, we really haven't seen that, and I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon, to be honest.
Are there any rules or laws about how AI can be used or cannot be used?
Here in the United States, there really aren't that many rules governing AI. We have seen it attempts to restrict or limit its use by law enforcement agencies in various states and cities. On a federal level, no, we're not seeing it. In fact, many federal agencies are expanding their use of AI, facial recognition technologies, to, say, limit access to buildings, to make determinations on, you know, employees and so forth. We are, however, seeing some sort of move to regulate AI in Europe. There are much more concerns there, and they've put in some new rules just in the last couple of years. We're going to see how that filters down, how that affects businesses, and of course, how it affects society and the people that use AI.
All right, that's WSJ Science reporter Eric Kneeler. Thanks for joining us for this conversation, Eric.
Thanks very much.
Okay, that's it for this first episode of our series, Artificially Minded. Join us next Monday when we'll answer questions submitted by you on artificial intelligence. Until then, you can catch regular episodes of Tech News Briefing for the rest of the week. And if you want more tech news, check out our website, WSJ.com. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang. Our supervising producer is Melanie Roy, and our executive producer is Chris Zinsley. This show was mixed by Michael Laval, and I'm your host, Zoe Thomas. Thanks for listening.
Set up your Alexa smart speaker with convenient access to important news using the WSJ Headlines skill. Discover the top breaking U.S. and world news stories Plus, the latest on business, politics, and more with this new series of voice commands from the Wall Street Journal. Here are the day's top headlines and quickly add stories from custom reading lists you can access later. Just say, Alexa, enable WSJ headlines to get started.